Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. Hang on to your hat and enjoy the ride, because you're about to get some powerful insights and practical hacks that will take your daily life to the next level. And now, here are your hosts, Rick, Frank, and Peter.
Welcome back to the Road Ahead Cafe. I'm your host, Rick Gabrielli, and I'm here with change facilitator Frank Vandenhorst and mindfulness coach Peter M. Fellows. And this week, we're all about serendipity. Peter, can you tell us something about what you'll be sharing with us today?
Yes, thank you, Rick. It's good to be back at the Road Ahead Cafe again, back where no matter how fierce the storm outside on the road, you'll always find good conversation and practical wisdom to refresh your soul and take you back on the road again. And you won't have to wait for chance or serendipity, which we'll talk about in just a few moments.
Great stuff, Peter. Frank, how about you?
Well, serendipity, it's a wonderful subject. I had to look it up, and Merriam-Webster says, serendipity is the faculty or phenomenon of finding valuable or agreeable things not thought for. Well, is that not interesting? Recently, I was in Sicily, Italy for the first time, and a very dear friend of mine and his wife built a beautiful house over there, and I was visiting him. In my mind, Sicily was connected with the Hollywood cash cow, the Godfather. It was poor, rugged, dry, and an island somewhere down under. Not really a place to visit, except for some cultural highlights and wine, but that could be found in Italy all over the place. But I was in for a surprise. Serendipity at its best.
Wow.
You want to know more? Keep on listening.
Terrific, Frank. Thank you. So what I'll be sharing is how when we trust the path we're on, we may find exactly what we need.
Ah.
My only rule, stop looking for it.
Hmm.
Peter, what do you have to share today?
Yeah. All right. Well, so serendipity is defined as being something when something beneficial happens by chance. But I don't think serendipity does happen by chance. I think it's just that we can't consciously see the links in the chain that lead us to the event. Consciously, everything seems random, but at a deeper level of our non-conscious mind, what I call the pathfinder, we're always being guided on a path that leads us to the opportunity for beneficial outcomes. And what I want to share with you today is an account of serendipity from my book, Benevolent Synchronicity and the Psychic Self, to illustrate how I think serendipity works. In the early spring of 1980, my friend Roy had purchased the Ottawa New Age Center. And unfortunately, it was perhaps not a very good business decision, as there wasn't much business. I wanted to turn it around. My conditioned brain, Dobby, as I call him, was convinced that through sheer force of my will, I could remake the place and turn it into a thriving and effective center of life change for Roy, for the community. But it didn't work out that way. On the night that was supposed to be my greatest triumph, the whole edifice came tumbling down, and Dobby was crushed, frustrated, stressed out, and felt hopeless. I went to bed feeling on the verge of the flu or something, but I awoke in the morning feeling rather fantastic, and with these words in my mind, the dawn dreamer meets the healer. And these words weren't from any dream I'd had, at least none I could remember, but they were crystal clear and filled somehow with promise. Dobby felt good. I felt good. This is an excellent example of how Pathfinder, by the way, can shift something inside you to level up your experience. You don't know what's happened. You just feel better. Now, I didn't know what those words meant, but they made me feel good for about a day or two. And then the wonderful feeling passed as Dobby began brooding on the fact that I'd been neglecting my own business for this New Age Center vanity project I had that had blown up in my face. And now I had no income stream. Mostly, your conditioned brain, Dobby, will know how to handle the logistics that arise in living your life. But when he doesn't, that's when you ask the Pathfinder's question. Dobby became depressed because he had no idea what to do about this. But 2 weeks later, about 2 weeks later, Pathfinder intervened again. And this time, again, it was as I was waking, because you'll find Pathfinder's guidance will often come when your brain, Dobby, stops thinking about a problem, when he gives up, or when he has, before he's actually started thinking, like when you awaken from sleep. And that morning, three bright words rang out in my awareness. Very profound. Get a job. It's pretty straightforward. I was being told to stop trying to revive my business right now and instead just get some regular employment. Dobby resisted. I'd had my own thriving coaching business. I'd been a headliner at a huge spiritual retreat weekend. I'd been featured in one magazine and newspapers. He didn't want me to slip into obscurity with an ordinary job. So he desperately scoured the ads in the newspaper for anything coaching related, but he kept coming up empty day after day. And finally he gave up. And when he did, the thought came out, try radical trust. Try trusting that you're being guided and just take the first ordinary job you can find. So I did. And the first job I could find was for a security guard sitting at a desk in a building. Well, Dobby wasn't too sure about that, but since he'd made the commitment to trust, he decided to follow through, curious, and just see what happened. And what happened was that serendipitously, my brother dropped by for a visit. And when he casually asked me how things were going, instead of just going, fine, I said, what was happening? I was applying for a job as a security guard, which is totally unlike me to do. And because I told him that, he said, well, if you're willing to take a job as a security guard, maybe you'd be interested in applying for a job with Museums Canada as an exhibit cleaner. There was an open position for a 6-month contract with a mobile museum called the Discovery Train. The pay would easily be double what I would get as a security guard. I'd be traveling across Canada for 6 months, all expenses paid, hanging out with college kids who'd be working as museum guides. Dobby worried that I didn't have the training or the experience in cleaning museum exhibits, but he remembered that he'd committed to radical trust. The hiring manager looks at my resume and immediately brought up the glaring fact that I've never handled historical artifacts before, and I had no training or experience in cleaning them. But serendipitously, he was more interested in my psychology and coaching background. He thought that with 60 people working and living together for 6 months, traveling across the country, would be a good idea to have someone on board who was grounded and capable of dealing with interpersonal relationships and issues. My presence, he felt, might be a steadying influence. I didn't tell him it doesn't work like that. He was offering me a job. So I was hired, and it was a great job. But you know, being with those college kids who were partying and hooking up with each other and stuff brought home to me how lonely I felt because there was no one special in my life. Other than that, it was wonderful. After touring Eastern Canada, we were at a stop outside of Toronto, Ontario, and I found myself with some time on my hands. Why? Because serendipitously, there was a bomb threat that the museum was closed for the day. Pathfinder reminded me that I knew two people in Toronto. Not well, but I knew them. She suggested that if I should call one of them, you know, see if they're up for a visit. Serendipitously, the first person I called didn't answer the phone. But the second person did and agreed to meet with me. And the second person was the woman who had become my wife, Jeannie. I was the dawn dreamer because most of my lucid dreams took place in the morning. And she was the healer because she was studying at that time with spiritual healers. At the deeper level of your non-conscious mind, Pathfinder, you constantly stream guidance to your conditioned brain, Dobby. This guidance is intended to put you in sync with the world in a way that provides you with an effortless path to fulfillment, no matter what's happening. And often this appears to be serendipity, but Pathfinder knows exactly what she's doing. When you feel anxious, stressed out, frustrated, it's only because your conditioned brain, Dobby, has disconnected from Pathfinder's guidance. The solution is to use TPQ, the Pathfinder's question, to reconnect Dobby to Pathfinder. Curious about how to level up your life with TPQ? Contact me at petermfellows.com. Rick?
Great stuff, Peter. What a terrific story. Wow. Frank, what do you got for us today?
Well, on Sicily, boy, oh boy, I was really wrong, completely wrong. Yes, to a certain extent, it is rugged and dry and poor. At the same time, it's very, very green and very fertile. In that sense, it is very rich. Fruits, tomatoes, olives, olives oil, great wines are all exported all over the world and transported to Northern Europe. It's all there. And the volcano, the Etna, which is still active, gives it a special touch. Besides that, what happened to me being there together with my dear friend enjoying Italy? Yes, I'm going to tell you what happened. Serendipity has to do with having and keeping an open mind, with staying curious. So what happened to me? One evening, having dinner at a beautiful place, overlooking a fascinating landscape with olive trees, remote farms, and in the distance, the Mediterranean Sea, I was taken by surprise. I spontaneously tuned into the energy field of the scenery as I watched it. My psychic capabilities took over for a moment and I heard a voice in my head. The voice said, "This land has been used by the Greek, Romans, the Moors, and now the Italians. It is used and abused. Over time, it has been neglected and treated with not much respect. The land, this land, has a special energy. The volcano and the earthquakes make it not easy for people to live. But on this fertile soil and its unique position in the Mediterranean, it attracted many people. But did they care for nature and its spirits? Not so much," the voice said. Then in my mind's eye, the scenery changed and the voice showed me what I could describe paradise on Sicily. It was a stunning, beautiful picture beyond words to describe, where people and nature live in pure harmony. It said, "This is how it can be when people treat nature with respect. It has so much to give and is waiting to receive the love and respect. Tell this to the people," the voice said. I was back, blinking my eyes, and then our drinks were served. While bringing out a toast to my friend, I told him what I just experienced. He smiled and he told me his ideas to start an organic farming. He already has his own olive trees, olive oil, lemon trees, and fig trees. I saw him smiling and felt his love for this beautiful country spreading out. Again, the energy of the voice came. "And this is what it meant," he said, or she said, whatever. The voice was neutral. It said, "The land will support ideas of like-minded people. They will be surprised what this island and nature in general has to give when it is treated with respect and not taken advantage of. Stop the greed," it said. Serendipity is the phenomenon to find valuable or agreeable things not sought for. Well, I dipped into the pool of serendipity. What about you, Rick?
Wow. Beautiful story, Frank. So vivid. I felt like I was there. So what I wanted to share today was the story of our house that we're in now, which is 40 Cypher Lane in Poquet, New York, which we moved into in 2003. We were living in a small co-op, which we owned in Greenberg, right near Valhalla, where I grew up. And so we had two small children. And when Carol and I had bought it, 14 years earlier, we were going to flip it in 1 year. So we moved in there completely intending to sell it. And we just, you know, went on with our life. And we had our first son and then our second son. And this small 850 square foot co-op apartment was bursting at the seams. So we decided that, you know, maybe we should try to sell it and buy a house. So we had paid $100,000 for this co-op and we looked at the market at that time, and it was worth about $60,000. Having had a mortgage of about 90 on it, we were upside down, as they call it. So we had no choice but to take out a yellow legal pad and start to draw boxes, master bedroom, other, only second bedroom. And we were dividing it up. So we decided, all right, maybe we'll put the boys in the master bedroom. So we started dissecting that box into two sections, one for Alex, one for Max. And then we would move into the boys' smaller bedroom. So here we are drawing these boxes, and no matter how we slice it, it just keeps getting smaller. And all of the stuff that kids at that age, 8 and 2 years old, have just overtook the place. So in the middle of the night, which is when I do my best work, when everyone's asleep, I started looking at listings of houses outside the area. And I decided maybe we should just try to sell this place. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking. It was typical Rick fashion. No idea, no plan. The finances were completely backwards. And Carol, being a financial person, said, what are you thinking? We can't sell this place. We owe more than we could get. So I said, just trust me. Let's just look at it. So my sister, who was at the time already running her dental practice, was also a real estate agent. So I called her and I said, can you ask your broker what these units are worth? So she started looking at the co-op units in our area. And she said, you know, there's a unit on your street that's selling for $120,000. And I said, but mine's only worth $60,000. And so she did some homework and she said, you know what? My broker said, you might be able to get $100,000 now. The market went back up. So I said, all right. I thought, you know, it was only worth $60,000, but it was my mistake. So started looking at houses, and we immediately got, at the time, if you remember, a Hagstrom's map. We started opening it up and looking at towns. So first thing we did is go to Northern Westchester. Prices were astronomical. No way could we afford to live there. So then we went into Putnam County. Also very high prices, not as high as Westchester, but still too high. And we didn't feel the vibe. So we went into Dutchess County, started looking at houses there. And we were doing this, looking at houses at the same time as we were packing boxes to try to create this bigger living space out of the rooms that we had. And we had a couple storage areas. We were going to take some stuff out, reconfigure the house we lived in to try to make it work. But little did I know at the time that I was really packing these boxes to move, because we had found some houses and we decided, my sister said, why don't we have an open house? You're clearing out the place to live in it more comfortably. Why don't we just have an open house? Let's list it. Let's list the unit. So she said to her broker, you say it's worth $120,000. Why don't we list it for like $140,000, just to be, you know, crazy. And my unit was really in perfect condition. I had restored the whole thing and it was beautiful. So the broker said, $140,000? You're crazy. You're never going to get that. So I got involved and I said, I want to list it for $150,000. And she said, $150,000? I can't do that. I have a reputable agency. I can't. I said, all right, let's list it for $165,000. So I just made up these numbers. And we had an open house that weekend and only one person came. Hmm. And that one person made an offer of $163,000. And so we had made enough money to not only have a down payment for a new house, but then we started looking more fervently. The guy bought our unit. We ended up getting a down payment, selling, paying our mortgage off, buying the house we're in now. And the guy who bought my unit put a $5,000 bathroom upgrade in it and sold it 3 years later for $200,000. And that guy who bought it sold it with no new renovations for $220,000 2 years later. So what I had done, and I take full credit for this, is that I had implemented serendipity at its finest. So just by making a decision to change the way I lived in the space I was in, I let go of trying to move. Yeah. I put in place some insane parameters, which in some way, the universe rewarded me. Now, again, you may be thinking, if you're listening or watching, Rick, the market went up. And I say, but someone had to make it go up. And so I was the market maker. I wouldn't accept my supposed fate. And I fully created this serendipitous effect. Yeah. So that's the story of how you can create. Again, I don't know how it happened. I just get full credit for it every time someone tells the story. So I accept it again here today. Peter, final thoughts.
Very nice. Final thoughts. All right, let me see. It may seem to you that you found us, Track 3, the Road Ahead Cafe podcast, by chance. But we hope by now that you stay with us by choice. Because let's face it, it'd be a bit weird if every time you listened to us, it was purely by chance, and not because you purposely tuned in. TPQ, the Pathfinder's question, is a path without resistance. You have available to you the guidance you need to get in sync with what's going on in the world and find the flow in your daily life, as was just demonstrated by Rick and Frank in their stories. When you don't see the flow, when you feel that you're bumping into things or you're just treading water or going nowhere, that's only because Dobby's disconnected from Pathfinder. All you have to do is pause, ask, and receive. And like your navigational GPS coming back online, you'll suddenly receive the guidance and or resources you need. Talk to you again next week.
Great stuff, Peter. Frank, final thoughts.
Life is full of surprises. My visit to Sicily once more made me aware of it. It reminded me how valuable it is to keep an open mind, to be curious, to listen, to be silent, to ask, and to be willing to receive, to go to the place where the magic happens, beyond my assumptions, condemnations, and all those things which Peter refers to Dobby. I kick him out of my house. And maybe the most important thing, honor nature and be grateful. You don't want to know how? Contact us at theroadaheadcafe.com or me personally on LinkedIn. I'm happy to meet you there. And as always, what you think about and think about, you bring about. And have a wonderful day. And don't forget to subscribe, please.
Great stuff, Frank. Thank you. So my final thoughts, sometimes you just have to believe in the energy of the road ahead. It always serves something delicious. Thank you for joining us today for the Road Ahead Cafe. Remember, if you like us, subscribe. And if you love us, make a quick selfie video right now to tell us why. Don't be shy. We look forward to getting together with you again next week. Until then, savor your day today.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Road Ahead Cafe. Hungry for more? Don't miss out. Follow this channel and be sure to subscribe to our email at theroadaheadcafe.com. Thank you for stopping by. See you next time.